the universal form of the Supreme Lord. All these are thoroughly described. Text 10. Kalasya stula shukshmasya. Are we there? I can't see. Are we ready? Kalasya stula shukshmasya. Gati padma samudbhava. Bhuva udarane ambodir. Hiranyaksha vadoyata. Translation. Other topics include the subtle and gross movements of time, the generation of the lotus from the navel of Garbhodakshai Vishnu, and the killing of the demon Hiranyaksha when the earth was delivered from the Garbhodak ocean. Text 11. Urdhva Tirya Avatsarva Ruja Sargas Katai Vacha.
Arda Nari Sarasyata Sanguva Manaya.
Where are we?
We just jumped there because it's moving around a lot, so if we see something, we change.
Okay. Every little bit helps. Let's, is it there? You take it from the top. All right, anyway. Translation. The Bhagavatam also describes the creation of demigods, animals, and demoniac species of life, the birth of Lord Rudra, and the appearance of Swayambhuva Manu from the half-man, half-woman, Ishwar. Om Jnana Tumarandasya Kanam Binam Shadakaya Taksur Anamitam Dena Tasma Shri Guru Deva. Hey Krishna Karuna Sundar Dinabandhu Jagatate Gopeshi Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. So this canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is summarizing the Srimad Bhagavatam and describing various sundry topics, the passing away of Maharaj Parikit, symptoms of the age of Kali, the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, and a review of the subject matter itself. And in these verses, it's touching upon some discussions in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And there are no purports to these. So I thought I would discuss something that seemed closely related and natural, which is the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam and the benefits of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, Srila Vyasadeva is the author, directly and indirectly, of the Vedic scriptures, and he has stated that this Bhagavad Purana is the summary, it's the essence of everything that he has given. This makes it easy or simple for us. We don't have to go through so many tens of thousands of verses in the Vedic scriptures. The Vedic scriptures are vast, to say the least, huge. But Srila Vyasadeva has summarized them and given the sara, or the cream of Vedic knowledge, in this Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Purana. When I was engaged in service in New York with Radha Govinda, we would get milk from the Gita Nagari farm, 5-gallon metal containers. And on the top, the first 12 or 16 cups would be cream. And the word for cream is sara in Sanskrit. And it is the most potent part of the milk, the cream, the sara. And so the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the cream, the very essence of all the Vedic spirituality. Sometimes people ask us, can you recommend a Veda to read? Many people have heard about, or some people have heard of the four Vedas, Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur Veda, Atharva Veda, and they think of these as the Vedas. Some people know of the Upanishad. Occasionally someone will ask, well, can you direct me to a Veda to read? So we are fortunate that we are able, in disciplic succession, to simply point people to this cream of all Vedic knowledge, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and along with it, Bhagavad Gita, which is Gita Upanishad, the summary of all the Upanishads. What are some of the purposes of the Vedic scriptures? Why are the Vedic scriptures there? Someone would like to offer some ideas? Why are the Vedic scriptures given to us, or any scripture for that reason? So we can fix our mind on Krishna. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Someone else? Yeah? An instruction manual how to get out of the material world. Yes, that is, it is described like that. Other purposes of the Vedic scriptures?
Mahaprabhu said the essence is sambandha, vidya, and prayojana.
Yes.
Three main topics in Vedas.
Yeah. Sambandha, abhideya, prayojana, which include just what you mentioned, Madhaji mentioned. Yes. It's all within that. But I was thinking of that too. Sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has summarized it very broadly, the purpose of the Vedic scriptures. There's no other guiding reason for the existence of the Vedic scriptures, or any scripture for that matter, other than this sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. So what is sambandha?
Of the knowledge.
Knowledge?
Knowledge of the goal.
Relationship.
Not quite. Yeah?
Relationship.
So sambandha, bandha is like connected, and sum is like equal. So sambandha means the basic understanding of who we are, what God is, who Krishna is, and what our relationship is with him. So we may think of Bhagavad Gita, which is described as being on the platform of intelligence, not even on the soul yet, or approaching awareness of spirit. And then the next one, abhideya. What is abhideya?
The process to revive that relationship.
Yeah, abhideya as, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Huh?
Yes. As you mentioned, the process of what to do, how to act, having become aware of Krishna, abhideya, how to act within the relationship. And then finally, prayojana, which is?
Goal.
And what is the goal?
Krishna prema.
What?
Krishna prema.
Krishna prema. And? Anything else? Breaking free from the cycle of birth and death and going home back to Godhead. Lord Krishna comes into this material world generally Parichanaya Sadhanam Vinashya Tadushkatam Dharma Samstha Panathya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. He comes to revive awareness of Sambandha, who we are, how to relate with him, and how to return home back to Godhead, how to become free of all suffering. We may remember in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada writes that we are all as if chased by a tiger in this material world, the tiger of misery. What are the three categories of miseries? Someone over here? The three categories of misery? Yes, misery is from the body and mind. Misery is from?
Others.
Yes. Misery is from natural disturbances. So Lord Srila Prabhupada writes that we are all as if being chased by the tiger of these miseries in this material world. Everyone is suffering in so many different ways. Sometimes when we speak with people, we discuss how they're suffering in this way and that way, so many details. But at the end of the day, this world is a place of suffering, whatever the details are. And the only solution is, what is the only solution? What is that? Surrender to Krishna so that? And what will we get by surrendering to Krishna? Manmana bhavaman bhakta manjidimam namaste. What does Lord Krishna advise Arjuna in the end of the ninth chapter?
Surely, by doing all these things, surely you will come to me.
Exactly. Exactly. That what to speak of the Brahmins and the kings, saintly kings. All of you, you surrender to me. It doesn't matter. What's that verse that even, it doesn't matter what the birth, everyone, the women, the laborers.
Be part of the apostles,
you remember the rest? Everyone can surrender to me. And everyone should surrender to me. It is the only way to become free of our suffering. We hear Srila Prabhupada advising us again and again, and Lord Krishna himself explains to Arjuna that the real misery of life, the real difficulty that we face is not that, not to sound ridiculous, but the light bulb goes out in the oven or the refrigerator breaks or our daughter's running around with the wrong man. But the real trouble is that we can come back and do it again. Right? That is the real painful challenge that all living beings face in this material world. All these other things are really not problems. Well, they are problems. Compared to that, they're not nearly. And it can be difficult. I think many of us can will acknowledge that just living in this world can be so difficult. So many things. You have to hold a job, pay the bills, raise children, be concerned about our wife, our children, our parents, our pets, our car. So many things. And it gets very busy. And we get very absorbed. And we sometimes feel ourselves successful if we just get through the day, you know. It's like that. It really is. But really, all of that, all of these difficulties are not the real problem of life. Lord Krishna describes that this world is dukalayama shashvata. It's temporary and it's miserable, and it is. There are some bright moments here and there. There are. But even if you have a reasonably decent life, then we're kicked out by death. Death takes it all away. And we have to start all over again. Deyano Enosmin Tadihi, Tamaram Yoganam Jura, Tatati unto thy Prabhu, dearest Tatra, Namuya. From boyhood to youth to old age, of souls continually passing from one body to the next. And this is the real issue. So the Vedic scriptures are given so that we can revive our spiritual awareness of who we are as spiritual beings, awareness of Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Nadir Adir Govinda, Sarvakarna Karanam, as the supreme source of everything, the supreme proprietor, Bhaktaram Dagatapasam, Savaloka Maheshwaram, Suridam Savabhutanam, Yajgyatva, Shantam Richati, so that we become God conscious. Now, there is another guiding, well, part and parcel of Sambandha Abhidei Prayojana for the Vedic scriptures and for all instructions that are given by Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita that the Bhagavad Gita is meant for reformation of character. Reformation of character. The Vedic scriptures are meant for, we may say, transformation, although really it is renovation. It is reawakening our original identity. And all the different rules and regulations for all the different orders of life, whether it's man or woman or child, or sannyasi or brahmachari or whoever, all the different rules and regulations, they are given specific to the body that we have. So that each of us, according to our material situation, may best make advancement in spiritual life. Now, what does that mean, making advancement in spiritual life? If someone has made advancement, or if I have made advancement, what do I have in my hand? There's different answers.
Freedom from fear.
Freedom from fear. And where is that described? Do you remember? Chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Yes?
Oh, well,
yes.
That's quite popular.
Yes.
Abhayam satasum chudhiya gyanir vyadasya vasthi.
Freedom from fear, tolerance, what else? Patience. Come on, we've all read Bhagavad Gita. Don't be shy. What are some of the other spiritual qualities of our soul?
Humility.
Humility. That's the very first one. Right? What else?
Cleanliness.
Cleanliness. Awareness of the miseries of material life.
Approaching the spiritual master.
What is that?
Approaching the guru.
Approaching the guru. Detachment. Steadiness of mind.
Prabhupada said if you don't approach the guru, the other ones don't have that much meaning.
Yeah. So these qualities are qualities of our very soul, of ourself. And the different rules and regulations in the Vedic scriptures and the way our spiritual master instructs us are to help us bring these back out. They are already there. Everyone is a Brahmin. Everyone. The man across the street, everyone. But it is covered. We know that. It is covered by past sinful activities and present sinful activities. What are sinful activities? What is a way to generally describe sinful activities?
Thing that makes us forget Krishna.
Forgetting Krishna. What else? How can we understand if what we're doing is a sinful activity or not?
Negative
karmic reaction. We're guided by scripture. To be sinful is to not live our life according to the directions of Krishna. To not live our life under the guidance of Bhagavad Gita. Whatever we do which is not done under the direction and under the light of Bhagavad Gita is a sinful activity. So as we make spiritual advancement by following Bhagavad Gita, following the instructions of the spiritual master. All of these qualities of our soul begin to manifest more and more, which begin with, as Mataji said, humility. Humility is the very first one. Submissiveness. Just like children in the Vedic culture, other cultures, children are meant to be trained very seriously, culture, discipline, to be very respectful to their parents, very submissive, and to have a service attitude. Not that they're the center of the universe and the house revolves around them, but a service attitude. And also, each varna and ashram, there's a certain edge or emphasis upon everyone developing an attitude of submissiveness. The women, the men, the children, the old, the young. And why is that? Why is this attitude of humble, respectful submissiveness so prominent in the Vedic teaching? Some ideas?
Pride cometh before the fall.
What's that?
Pride cometh before the fall.
Pride cometh before the fall. Something else?
To help us understand we're not these bodies.
What else?
Indicative of godly behavior.
Indicative.
That's the way Krishna
behaves. Srila Prabhupada writes in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that for people whose backgrounds are sinful, selfish, and irregulated, devotional service is very difficult. We hear that there's no obstacle to devotional service, but that means there's no absolute obstacle. There are, quite obviously, obstacles. And what is our relationship with Krishna? What is our relationship with God? Someone can say. What is the essence of our relationship with Krishna? One of them. What?
Eternal servitude.
Eternal servitude. God is great. We are small. Our only business is to do what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, how he wants us to do it. That is who we are. And our greatest happiness and freedom is to be found in being who we are. What a radical idea. If we're not being who we really are, how can we be fully happy and fully satisfied? How can we be complete if we're not living completely as who we really are? But in this material world, our disease is icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. We don't like the idea of submission. As soon as, you should be submissive. Oh, we don't like that word. And that is our disease, or a symptom of our disease. We don't like this idea, our mind doesn't like this idea to one degree or the other, that I should be submissive and humble and do what this person wants. We don't like it, emotionally, to one degree or the other. In fact, until the stage of prema, it remains. So everyone has it, to one degree or the other. And therefore, the Vedic rules and regulations for all the different people, for all the different orders of life, they're there so that each of us, according to our body, can cultivate humble, submissive service. So that our ability to relate with Krishna is opened up. It is made much more favorable. Our entering into bhakti, if our character is favorable for that. And therefore, Bhagavad Gita speaks about in the 13th chapter the necessity of developing these spiritual qualities, because they smooth the way for us to genuinely revive our love for Krishna. And so for the children to be trained to be respectful and obedient,
and everyone to have an attitude of service is favorable, ultimately, for the revival of our Krishna kingdom. And the reason I bring this up is that, you know, naturally, it is usually the case that when people understand why they have to do something, it usually helps us, me, to keep at it. If we don't really understand, it's sometimes a little funny, oh, why do you go to church? Well, I don't know, you're supposed to, I don't know, my mother said I should. That will only go so far. And we see it only goes so far. And whether we're situated in a brahmachari ashram or a grihastha ashram, or situated as a man or a woman or a child or whoever we are, the more that we can appreciate the whys behind these religious principles, these religious instructions, it will help us to accept them easily, more easily, and be able to follow them with more enthusiasm because we understand the value of them. Otherwise, why do them? You know? I think I shared it once before, but not that it's that important. But I can think of one example that sticks out in my life. There was some period of time I was in this temple, and the temple president was continually finding fault with me. Well, not finding fault, but I kept making mistakes in different things that I was doing. He would point them out, and he would be enthusiastic to point them out. And I could see that my mind didn't like that. Why are you finding fault with me? You know, the great me, everything I do is perfect. How could there be any fault in anything I do? And I could see that there was that kind of threat within my heart. And it went on for a few weeks, different things. And I prayed to Chaitanya Nityananda to try and understand it and fix this kind of arrogant thinking within myself. That who am I to be found fault with? And after some time, I could see that Krishna had lifted this from my heart to a significant degree. This thinking that I know, I'm perfect, I know everything, everything, who are you, how are you, who are you to even begin to suggest that I put the deity's turban on crooked? Such thinking goes on. It does, to one degree or the other. So humility. And so what happened was, I realized that I had been a real, as they say in Yiddish, a schmuck. I had been thinking really in a puffed up, arrogant way. And I really didn't know anything. And whatever I knew was by the grace of Krishna. And I went and I bowed down before Srila Prabhupada in the temple room. And I apologized for having such a puffed up mentality, thinking that, oh, I'm so perfect. No one can tell me anything. And I remember I went into the ashram and I started reading. I picked up the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto. And I started reading, and it was like I had read it for the first time. I was shocked. And I could understand that because my false ego had become somewhat diminished, I was actually able to hear submissively what Srila Prabhupada was saying. And it was just amazing. And therefore, in the list of spiritual qualities there in the 13th chapter, humility is number one. There's a, what's that parable, that little narrative that two people are supposed to learn to play violin? And one of them goes that I want to learn, and the teacher says, for you, $10 an hour. And then the other one, do you know anything? Oh yes, I know how to play violin. For you, $50 an hour.
because we're going to have to deal with your thinking that you know how to play the violin. So these spiritual qualities, they're part of our soul, they're part of our self. The Vedic culture and the process of Krishna consciousness include automatically, by following them, Cheto, Dharpana, Marjanam, Bhava, Maha, Devatmi, Nirvakanam, all these coverings will be gradually removed from our heart, and we will be able to taste Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. More and more pleasure when we chant Hare Krishna. More and more pleasure when we see the deities. As our heart becomes cleansed of ignorance and misconceptions, all the different anarthas, then our natural attraction to Krishna awakens more and more. What's that verse, Puskar Prabhu? About how Krishna consciousness is eternally established within the heart of all living entities.
Krishna Prema Satmakabhunoi?
Yes, that, yeah. That Lord Chaitanya has said that Krishna consciousness is nothing artificial, it's nothing we're trying to stuff down our throats, although it may feel like that sometimes. But it is actually completely natural. It is who we are. And by chanting Hare Krishna carefully and attentively, avoiding offenses and following the other aspects of sadhana, gradually our hearts become more and more cleansed, and we enjoy Krishna consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, do this and you become happy. Do this and you become happy. Bhagavad Gita is about being happy. People who are ill spiritually, they think, oh, Bhagavad Gita is telling me I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this. It's a miserable thing. But actually, Bhagavad Gita is the path to the greatest happiness. Anandam Buddhi Bhagavad. So I'll stop here. Any questions or discussion? All glories to Sri Guru Sigaranga. Hare Krishna.
Well, disobedience is really start. According to the word you said,
yeah.
I start. Bring it back in there.